this morning. I'd like to welcome all visitors to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And at this time, if anyone has any announcements they'd like to make, let them be heard. No announcements? All right. I'd like to make a note in the schedule for tonight. It says that youth starts at 6 p.m. It actually starts at 6:30. So that's for all the youth and all the parents. I'd like to remind everyone to fill out the attendance booklets in the pews. And now, does anyone have any prayer requests?
You guys could pray for my friend Ann. She's in the intensive care unit, cardiac intensive care unit. She's the one that's been suffering with pneumonia. And anyway, please keep praying. She said, please don't stop praying.
Okay. I'll ask for prayer too. If you could pray for Tyler's uncle and family. He's in Afghanistan, and they're going through move and all kinds of changing right now, so just prayer for them would be good. And Tyler's dad.
Okay. Are there any more? This out of order, so can we bow for or pray, have a moment of silent prayer.
Let us pray. Holy God, awesome Father, we give you praise and glory today. As we come here to worship you, Lord, help us that we might worship in spirit and truth. You be glorified in this service today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray for those who are in need. Those that have been on our prayer list for some time and for those that are being lifted up today, we come to you, Lord, adding our prayers together with all those that are already praying. Father, asking that you would move in a mighty way in their lives to restore their health, to lift them up during times of heaviness. Lord, to give them encouragement and peace that passes understanding, to know that you are at work in their lives, Lord. And we know that you'll be glorified in every situation, and we thank you, Father. We ask that you would be. Lord, we give you praise and glory. We thank you today for your grace that abounds in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now help us, Lord, to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Call to worship. The Lord upholds all who are falling,
and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you,
and you give them their food and drink.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Prince of peace, all rulers, kingdoms, conquerors.
Our sins. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but delight in the instruction of the Lord. You know, the word can be translated law, or it can be translated instruction. But for me, I always like to put the Word of God in there to see it as it is, that it is the Word of God that is to direct our life, that as we walk in that, it becomes the standard for our life. And really, when you think about it, what we do sometimes in life is we will live our experience, and we take our experience to the Word, and we say, well, my experience says this. I know the Word says something else, but... And we sort of judge what's true by what we've experienced. But really what we should do is we should go to the Word first and say, Lord, Your Word's true. Your Word's right. Let me bring all my experience and interpret it according to Your Word and see it for what it really is. So that's what I would hope we would do in this time as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our prayer will be in silence, and we'll just pray in our hearts before God. But let's look clearly at the places where we really need to bow our lives down and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You hear our prayers. We thank You that when we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, all these things we pray and ask in Jesus' holy, blessed name. Amen. Now hear these words of assurance, which also come from Psalm 1. Delight yourself in the instruction of the Lord, and on God's instruction meditate day and night. You shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all you do, you will prosper. Praise be to God.
Children's song.
Don't wear the dress.
Me?
I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High, while our ushers come.
Turn in your Bibles this morning to Titus, the book of Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 14. We're going to talk about the grace of God this morning. The grace of God. Hear the reading of God's Word. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce godliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, who are zealous for good works. Think about the grace of God this morning. The fact that this scripture says that the grace of God appeared to us. That the grace of God has appeared. That the grace of God has shown up. That the grace of God has arrived. Bringing salvation for all people. Well, if I am going to understand the grace of God correctly, well, then I'm thinking salvation was brought to the people by God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ became the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice. And by His death, burial, and resurrection, we have been bought with a price. And we now can believe on Christ. And Scripture says that it was for all people. That it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So we know what God's will is, but yet we know we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And there are people who harden their hearts. There are people who do not listen and will not receive. But yet the Scripture also tells us that there are many who are right there on the edge. The fields are ripe for harvest. All the time. There's not a time when there are not many masses of folks who are really right there. They're ready. They just need laborers to go into the field. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But this grace of God that has appeared to us, bringing salvation for all people, well, we look at that and we say, it's Jesus who brought salvation. It's God who sent His Son. It's God who gave His Son. And so when we start talking about the grace of God, we realize real quickly that the grace of God is Jesus. The grace of God is God. The grace of God is the Holy Spirit. And I think we're going to see that real clear through this scripture passage this morning. The reason I think that it's important for us to recognize this is because sometimes I think we think of grace as a magical force. Maybe a magical potion or something. Or we just think, sometimes we can put God here, we put God up on the throne and Jesus at His right hand. And then we think about grace as just some sprinkling of fairy dust that God has put on our lives. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. You will never find the grace of God void of the presence of God. Where the grace of God is, there's the presence of God. The grace of God is the presence of God. Really, grace emanates, flows out from the presence of God. There is no grace apart from God. And so everything, this scripture is showing us that the grace of God appearing to us really appeared through God, through God's will, and by His Son. And is imparted to us again and again and continues to flow out from us through the person of the Holy Spirit. So, this grace of God has appeared to us. It's appeared to us to bring us salvation, to bring salvation to all people. But there's something else that the grace of God has appeared for. In verse 12 it says, the grace of God has appeared training us. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. The grace of God is God's presence in our life training us. Who trains us? If it is not the presence of Christ in our life, if it is not the Word of God that reveals Christ, that reveals the teachings of Christ that we're to live by and to follow, if it's not the Holy Spirit who God has deposited in our heart and calls us to walk in the Spirit since we live by the Spirit. That is the grace of God. To embrace the Spirit of God, to embrace God and His presence in our life, and to walk with Him and to cherish His presence is what it means to walk in God's grace and His mercy. Hallelujah. We need to know that because I think there are times in our lives when we go to different events. I don't know, maybe go to a ball game. And we don't realize that we're carrying the presence of God with us, that the grace of God is really there with us in that moment. Or when we go out with certain events, like if we go have a number of people over to our house, or we go out to a restaurant with a couple to enjoy a nice evening. And sometimes we forget in those moments that God is there with us. And we need to know and remember and be aware that at all times and all places, God has chosen us and goes with us where we go. Is actively involved with us in the things that we're involved in and is imparting His grace to us in those times and events. So, He's using these opportunities to train us. To train us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. That word renounce, I've used that word several times. And when I use it, basically what has happened in my life is I've realized there is an issue. There's something that has happened in my life and I know it's not good. That attitude cannot remain. And so what I have to do is I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I renounce my involvement in that kind of attitude. I am not going to live like that. I see it, I call it out, and I renounce it. To renounce it would be to cast it away, to cast it down, to say, that's not the way I'm going to walk anymore. That's not the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live a new way. I'm going to walk the Lord. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. If we're walking with the Lord, then what He's going to do is He's going to call us out. He's going to speak to us about those areas in our life that don't match up with His Word. And we're either going to do one or two things. We're going to justify our experience. We're going to use our experience and say, well, you know, I mean, this is the way, this is the way I feel, so this must be okay because I know the Lord loves me anyway. Or we'll go to the Word and let the Word judge us. And we'll say, you know, I know from the Word how I really should be living. I'm going to yield. I'm going to yield to the presence of God in my life. He's here. And the Scripture talks to us about how there are times in our life where we'll quench the Spirit. We will be quenching the Spirit by the choices we're making. We'll be grieving the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says, at times by the choices that we make. And we don't want to live like that. Now, we know it's going to happen from time to time. We're going to make a bad choice. But the thing is to recognize it. To again say, Lord, I recognize that I'm not my own. I'm not just out here on my own acting and you're sitting up on the throne watching me. You're here. You're right here with me in the moment when I'm acting the way I'm acting. The way that I don't like. The way that I know is not right. And so it's in those moments that we need to yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit, to the presence of God, to the grace of God. And say, Lord, forgive me. I renounce that
kind of living. I will reorder my steps to follow you. I'll reorder my steps to follow your word. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God has appeared to train us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And the grace of God has appeared to train us to live self-controlled, to train us to live upright, and to train us to live godly lives in this present age. Right now, in the time in which we live, it's not just about heaven. It's not just about the sweet by and by. It is really about right now and how we live, and God cares about it. God wants His grace to abound in our life, and definitely the Lord does not want us to miss the grace of God. So He's training us. He's got us all on a path. We're heading toward being transformed into the image of Jesus. And He's calling us to a self-controlled life, to an upright life, to godly lives in this time right now. This is the time. Not later. Sometimes we think, Lord, I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. It's always right now. It's always today. It's always this moment. And this is the moment that matters. Right now. The decisions we make now. So, the scripture goes on in verse 13. Says, we're waiting. I think really we could look at this and recognize that God is training us to wait. That it's still part of the purpose of the grace of God. That the grace of God is training us in patience. That there is value to what it means to wait on the Lord. And we are waiting for our blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to ransom us from the lawlessness, from all lawlessness. Think about that for a moment. We're waiting for this blessed hope. The blessed hope is that Jesus will return in His glory. That God will, that there is a consummation of the age, that all things will be fulfilled and Christ will come in His glory. I mean, that is, Jeannie and I have just been reading through the book of Revelation recently. You know, even the book of Revelation says that those who read it are blessed. Every time you read that book, you get a blessing. Don't be afraid of that book. Read it. Read it anew. Read it afresh. It ends well. And part of the ending is that Jesus locks Satan away in a pit for 1,000 years. And there's no more destructive temptation from the evil one for 1,000 years. And the heavenly Jerusalem descends out of heaven and is set up on earth. And the glory of God is shining out from the temple in such radiance that there's no need for the sun anymore. It is the light of the world. And that light radiates outward throughout all the world, and people come from every nation and they flock to the city of Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, this heavenly Jerusalem that's come down. And they pass through the gates and they worship God continually. It's a beautiful picture in the book of Revelation. Read it. It's what's about to happen. It's our blessed hope. Jesus is coming. There will be a fulfillment of all of this. But for now, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where Satan is still has some movement. He is referred to as the God of this age. He does still rob and kill and deceive and tempt and lead astray and deceive. That is His job, His purpose, and He's still here. He's working among us. And God's giving us a choice to either give in, give up, or keep on the track, or trust Him. Put our faith and our reliance upon Him. See, even though we live in this broken world, the truth is that the presence of God is not just on the throne in heaven, but God in His majesty, in His sovereignty, in all of who He is able to reign on the throne and reign in our hearts at the same time. And so God is with you at all times, and because He's with you and His Holy Spirit has been deposited within you, the grace of God is ever present with you to lead you, to train you, to deliver you, to help you in times of trouble. So while we're walking through this present age, we see the glory of God and the glimpses of God's glory in moments. When we are out on a beautiful day like we've been having, days like we've been having lately, we feel the wondrous radiance of the sun and the beauty of God's creation. And in a moment we go, wow, God, You are awesome. And we experience a measure of His glory. It's a very small measure, but it's still a part of His glory. In those moments where we share with someone at the table or in our home or at work or anywhere we may be, and we have moments and we share God's goodness and the truth of His Word, we all have experienced those times where we go, man, praise God. This was a God moment, wasn't it? It's a glorious moment. It's the glory of God. It's another glimpse of His glory. Why? Because one day, the glorious hope is that when Jesus comes, all the earth will see His glory and know that He's Lord and confess it. But right now, we share that grace and that glory with one another in the moments that we cherish. We are the light of the world. We're the ones responsible to share the grace of God with others, to impart the presence of God to others. And we do that in the seeds that we plant, the seeds of God's Word, the seeds of hope, the seeds of the gospel, the good message, the good news, that Jesus can make a difference in our lives. But we don't just need to do it from the pulpit. We need to do it every day. We need to recognize that the presence of God, the grace of God, is going with us everywhere we go. Not only to train us to live a godly life, but look at what the Scripture says in verse 14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. God is looking for a people who are zealous. You know, there was a group of people in Jesus' day who were called zealots. And they called them zealots because they were radical. They really thought, their idea was, is that they were hoping that Jesus was going to rise up as a king and call all the troops together, and they would go in and defeat Rome and take and set up the Jewish kingdom, the Israelite kingdom again. That was the hope of the zealot, because they were full of zeal, they were full of energy and fight, and they were ready to go. And what this word is saying is that the grace of God has appeared to make us zealous for God. God wants a zealous people. A people who are on fire, a people who are alive, who are committed and are ready to be the light to the world. willing to be the light, willing to share the joy that we have in our hearts, willing to share the light of Jesus with others. And there are so many people who need it, who are ready for it, who are just waiting for that labor in the vineyard, someone to come along and to share that good news with them so they can have the glimpse of God's glory that will bring them into the kingdom. This morning I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And as they do, I want you to think about what it means that the grace of God has appeared. That the grace of God has appeared to us, and He's calling us to be His special people. A people who are full of zeal for Him. A zeal for good works. You know what a good work is? If there's somebody in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've never, if you can think back to your life, like, there's never been a time where I really ever confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you would humble yourself and come before the Lord today and confess Him as Lord and Savior, that'd be a good work. That'd be a good thing. Good work to everything that we do to touch people's lives with God. If we go out from this place and we call up someone and let them know that we're praying for them, if we call somebody up and let them know that, you know, there's hope in Jesus, if we call somebody up or go visit them and we invite them to come to our church, those are good works. Those are good things that we do. As zealous people, people who are on fire for God, who have a passion for Him. I want to thank you for the way that you do that, and I want to encourage you to do it all the more as we see the day approaching. And if there's someone here today who needs the grace of God, come to this altar and let's pray, because we'll experience that glory together here this morning. If we stand and sing. Number 201. We thank You for Your marvelous grace. And as we go from this place today, may we go in the power of Your Holy Spirit. Use us, Lord, to be Your faithful witnesses. Lord, may we minister the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and share His glory with others in every moment. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.